And good morning here from the Temple of Silence in Finland. Some of you were with us just a few hours ago, it seems. And for some of us, the short night has intervened. We're getting everything ready here for the gathering that's going to be coming. I think if you go to the Lucis Trust, you know, the Arcane School Lucis Trust website, you're going to see some of the groups that are working in person for the festival week of the new group of world servers. And we are one of them, but we will, of course, be broadcasting and webinaring to you. And hopefully we'll be able to get the people who are here in the temple communicating with you as well. It's just a question of some electronics, which seem to be a little beyond me, but having a lot of Aquarius in my chart, it points to the necessity for work with electronics, at least in my particular case, and hopefully we'll be able to work it out so you can experience most everything. Let's see where we are here. Okay, there we are. Well, all right, friends, let's gather ourselves together. There are a number of us here, and I'm glad to see, even though it's not really a convenient hour in South America, in the United States, it is possible. And, of course, here in Finland, 8 o'clock in the morning, and in Australia, New Zealand, a decent time to listen in and participate. So let's just be silent for a few moments. And just get that sense of being with each other. Of course, being with each other is one thing, and there's another step which seems a difficult one, and that is being each other, being as each other, being each other. But every once in a while, it slips over you. Maybe in that important time that Master Moria points out as being between being asleep and awake. Well, that would be good for me right now. And then he says, lots of revelation can come at that time. Maybe one's tendency to make boundaries between perceptions subsides a little bit at that time. I think that is the case. Because there's something about the perceptual apparatus, which is keen on separating one thing from another. It's the fifth ray personality of man, or maybe the fifth ray mind of man. I'm just looking as a whole here. And it locks into these perceptions and make sure that you don't fall into confusion by blending one thing with another when they don't really belong blended on the formal level of perception. on the level of reality, they are blended. Now, what we're doing here in our science of triangles is we're looking for the sources of the triangles which allow us to continue evolving, to work with each other in various productive ways, to advance along the path, because triangles appear, and signs of the zodiac, let's say, appear at different levels of the cycle. And each time you are cyclically ascending, the sign of the zodiac has something additional to give. And we have to understand these gifts of the spirit. There was a book by Dane Rudyard some time ago. He may have renamed it at some point. It was called Gifts of the Spirit. And basically he said, that the higher lives want nothing more than to give appropriately. And therefore they are, if I can use this phrase, they are for giving, for the purpose of giving. Now, in our early days, we seem to be grasping quite a bit, but later we learn how to offer what it is we have for the sake of the improvement of others. If you see a fire take place behind me, let me know, won't you? I've got some candles burning there, but they're just not much left of them. When the smoke begins to rise, you'll know I have to turn around and do something. Well, good morning. So, Anne, hi, and Annette, and Dario, yeah. This is, and this is actually, Ario, this is 6 a.m. GMT, right now, here in Finland anyway. GMT is the special time going through the Greenwich Meridian, and here we're at 8 o'clock. So 2 hours difference, of course. All right. And if I am frozen, and God knows in what horrible caricature of a face one is frozen, that would be really too bad. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't know if this will help at all, but what I'll do is I'll get rid of this. And I'll get rid of this, and I'll try to start again, in a way. And not frozen there. And otherwise, it's got to be a function of the speed of your computer. Because I can tell, sometimes I become frozen on my own computer, then I know that's exactly what would be broadcast. But otherwise, I'm moving, mouth is moving, and...
it's frozen on a lot of computers.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's just how it is. I'll just have to...
Are you able to halt or get out of the program and get back in?
I just did that.
Did that. It didn't change.
Okay. Yeah, I just did that. So I'll tell you what I'll do. If this is a stop, now you shouldn't see anything. Is that correct? Because if you still see something, there's nothing I can do because I've eliminated the image completely. Okay.
I like what Michael Poitras wrote. Frozen here too in an attitude of meditation.
Well, that sounds very nice. I hope it's...
And that's the way it looks on my computer too.
Hey, it could be a lot worse. All right. Anyway, so just want to keep welcoming you, Barbara. Hi, and you know, it could be quite early for you if you're still in Asheville. Let's see here. Or quite late, really. And Catherine, hi in Australia, and Chris. And Ishtar, hi. And Catherine, we've got two of you here. Okay, keep trying. Something might come up that's correct. And Carrie, and even so, huh? And if you've entered two times, Carrie, now there is no image at all. I'm not broadcasting an image, so if you've entered again, it should not be a problem. Leslie, good morning, or good evening, rather. Lynette, hi. And Mariana, and Mariot, and Martha Mickelson, and Michael, and Natney, Risto, and Tia, and Walter, and Zenaide, and Zipporah, and Anne Veronica. Okay. And Michael is trying to keep me. I don't know, some weird things happen sometimes with GoToMeeting. Apparently it didn't happen last night, and it was just the same, you know. So I'll leave the image away, and if you want to re-enter, you'll be re-entering a program in which there is no image. So maybe that would... And now, and Catherine, maybe write a note to me, won't you? When you say it's okay, do you mean that the image is moving or there is no image? Just write a little note here, and I'll know what to do. All right. Or at least Michael will tell me what to do. And I put, yeah, okay, good. All right. Now, we're getting very near the end of this section. I'm not sure that we finish it today, but we're getting near the end. I really should take up the crosses with you. You know, in every cross, of course, there are triangles, at least four of them. And but I won't worry about that just yet. All right. Let's see where we are. Aha. Okay, so here's where we begin program number 61. Right. And, all right. It's so funny. Yeah, well, just do the best you can and just do the best with the image.
Yeah, I think with the frozen image, we're not going to see the text that you're reading from.
Uh-huh. I don't know what to say because there's no image here anymore. So just open your ears and do the best you can. A lot of it is my own stuff anyway, so maybe I can warn you when it's the Tibetan and you will know. So right now, it's a bit of a review that we're doing. And we're going to look at the seven initiations. And we're going to think of this list of chakras that we have, a list of rays. And we're going to think of the chakras in relation to the initiations, and in relation to the seven crises. And then what we're going to do is think of the five signs, says the Tibetan, of course I think there are more in some ways, that help propel us out of the kingdom of humanity, the fourth kingdom, and into the kingdom of souls. So I say here, that below is a fairly reasonable listing of possible correspondence between the seven signs of crises and the seven initiations. Now, we're all going to go through all of these, and I think we'll probably experience the crises before we experience some of these later initiations. So I've linked, and these are signs of the zodiac, which, so if I go back a bit, 473, signs of the zodiac, which are listed here, if you can see, and if you can't, I'm not going to fuss with it, just keep your ears open, okay? Signs of the zodiac associated with the different crises points, and Cancer is one of them. Okay, so I'm trying to give you what I consider to be reasonable lists of associated signs, each list telling us something a little different. Because, you know, you got to think of it, the initiations, that list is a bit different than the crisis list. Although, from another point of view, when you go through an initiation, there will be crisis. And then DK offers, towards the end of this section, a very beautiful definition of the idea of crisis and how it's really an examination in a way, you know, and we either have to pass the exam or not. So Cancer is associated with the first initiation, and try to get into your minds that every time I tell you or simply repeat what DK has said about a sign of the zodiac being connected with a crisis, other signs of the zodiac may come in there in relation to the crisis, in relation to the series of initiation. So we've got these seven signs of crisis, and we're trying to associate them with initiations, but other signs also support initiation. Now, like I say, if you want to really get into it, go to Makara or to YouTube, and my video book on the Egoic Lotus is there. And you'll see the way it becomes possible to link many signs with the various initiations. For instance, DK tells us outright that Gemini is important at the first initiation. We might not expect it. Then he says, okay, Leo is maybe the most important, whether if you have the sun sign in Leo or Leo rising. And then he says Virgo is the birth. And obviously Capricorn as well is the moment we celebrate the first of five initiations, and it's Christmas time, and, you know, put those ideas together. Capricorn, Christmas time, first initiation. And the fact that Aries is the first sign tells us about the first initiation. Maybe not Taurus so much, maybe not Libra so much, although Libra does connect with the sacral center, which is, we learn how to subdue that at the first initiation, and we combine the two-ness of Libra as the domination of the etheric body over the dense physical. When it comes to Scorpio, the Scorpio rules the first three initiations and in a different way gets involved in the fourth. So you get a peculiar testing physical potency. The thing is sex, money, and comfort under the physical heads of the Hydra under Scorpio. Sagittarius, maybe not so much with the first initiation. Capricorn, definitely. Aquarius, not so much. And Pisces, well, the bridge into the first initiation, whereby you give up many things which you had been holding on to. Remember that Pisces is ruled by Pluto in a certain respect, and you detach from the things that were holding you back from the more spiritual life. Now, I could, and even the ones I left out, I could find ways of justifying them in connection with the first initiation. I could go through all the other initiations, by the way, and the same thing would be the case. I would find a way to link various signs of the zodiac, not just one, but various signs of the zodiac with each initiation. However, there are some signs which stand out remarkably. For instance, if I were to give you the, I don't know where to put it. Maybe I'll do it here. Suppose we have the, I hope you can see what I'm writing, and if not, just listen. Suppose we have the triangle Leo, Scorpio, and Capricorn. What could that possibly mean? Leo, Scorpio, and Capricorn. Well, it's a triangle which gives the three major initiations within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. Leo is characteristically the first initiation. You really stand as a spiritual individual. Scorpio, you fight with the Hydra, and you confront it at its most powerful domain, the emotional body. And of course, you also later, confront at the mental body too. Capricorn, although its rules initiation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is most characteristic for initiation number 3. So basically, you've got a triangle with the three major signs that rule the first three initiations, all of which are taken within the dense physical body of the solar logos, and maybe we can call it the dense physical body of the planetary logos as well. It's a little hard to know what to do with the highest three levels of the mental plane. DK tells us definitely that the 21 lower subplanes are part of the dense physical body of the solar logos, but he does not tell us that they are necessarily part of the dense physical body of our planetary logos. But all of that will sort itself out. Suffice it to say, the highest levels of the mental plane are special, because that's where the causal body is, and wherever it feels like you are taking initiation, we're actually taking it within the causal body, most often in the hours of sleep when the consciousness is under special circumstances transported into the causal body. So that's an interesting triangle. Cancer, first initiation. Scorpio, the second initiation, as well as the first and third, depending. So that's Scorpio is the solar plexus, very much the battle of the solar plexus. And later a battle upon the plane of mind, where the throat center is involved. Interesting that Scorpio should be opposite of Taurus, which rules the throat. When you deal with the heart center, that's also possible. There's a special kind of death that we pass through at the fourth initiation. And Scorpio at this time is the sign which gives us the most fourth ray. Taurus is involved, fourth ray, Sagittarius, fourth ray, but they don't equal Scorpio in delivering the fourth ray to the fourth kingdom on our planet, whose sign is the fourfold cross, and that kingdom is humanity. And then Capricorn, the third initiation, Moon and Mars are involved there fighting it out, but the Moon is throwing a veil over Vulcan. And then Mars will fight with Vulcan. It's like desire fighting with the will. And then Venus will rise up, bestowing the first phase of supernal light. And then we'll be into an entirely different level of light. So those are three signs which rule initiations within the dense physical body of the solar logos. Now, it's not always so, and we begin to rise up taking initiations in the etheric body, the cosmic etheric body of the solar logos. And I don't know whether you're going to see anything here or not. I just don't know. Let's see if I can get there. Yep. But here is a picture of our seven planes. So for those who can see, the first three initiations are taken within the lower 21 subplanes. The fourth initiation is transitional, leading to the destruction of the causal body, and in a way is taken partially on the Buddhic plane. And on they go, ascending as you go. It's all worked out very neatly. It's all worked out according to law. And we have to understand what those laws are, because there are just so many laws, as Michael, you will know, having just done a thesis on law. So we learn the laws. Okay, now, of the signs of crisis, we associate Gemini with the fourth initiation because Gemini is the head of the cosmic Christ. If I slow my speech down like that, it means I'm typing. And whether you see it or not, I don't know. But Gemini is interesting because it pulls in two directions. And when you're taking the fourth initiation, you are really, it's really big thing. Why? Because you are leaving the dense physical body of the solar logos behind you. And maybe you're leaving the dense physical body of the planetary logos as well. You're certainly leaving the higher mental plane behind you and entering the realm of the cosmic ethers. Okay. Now, what about Leo? Well, Leo was one of those signs that started everything. But in this particular listing, where we're looking at the crises, seven crises, and the initiations, Leo comes out very, very high. It is related, I think, along with Uranus, its ruler, to the final burning ground. When I say final, I mean final for a human being. After being a master, you're technically not a human being anymore, though you are a member of the fourth creative hierarchy of monads. You are that, but you're not technically speaking a human being in the old sense. So, Leo is ruled by the sun on three levels. But the sun is also veiling three planets. DK hints at veiling Jupiter in the beginning, the earlier phases, veiling Neptune for the spiritual aspirant and disciple, and veiling Uranus for the true initiate. Now, there were a couple of more signs. Well, at least one here, which were involved in the crises. I'm going to go back to this crisis list, and, you know, hoping that some can see it. We've got Cancer in the beginning. We've got Aries somewhere here. We have Capricorn, we talked about, and Gemini, the head of the cosmic Christ. We have Scorpio, in which we fought the battle. And Virgo has to do with birth. But if you really want to think about it, there are other meanings to Aries and Virgo. And actually to Gemini as well. See, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say, please be aware that every sign of the zodiac has different potentials. The potential to stir lower developments, middle developments, and higher developments. And depending upon the level that the sign of the zodiac is operating at, so will be the triangles that will be formed. You know, like I could, let's see, what could I do here? Well, when it dawns on me about what I could do, I'll let you know, okay? Now, Virgo is the crisis of the birthplace. But if I was going to ask you which one of the planes is hierarchically ruled by Virgo, what would you say? Okay, you would probably say, if you've done a little research, it's the monadic plane. And let me turn over here to our friend the monad. And there it is. Virgo is ruling the monadic plane. Now, if it's ruling the monadic plane, you can be sure that in some interesting way, it is connected with the sixth initiation. And Jupiter is the hierarchical ruler of Virgo, giving a very, very expansive and inclusive way of looking at things. But we should not, you know, here is a sign that was not given in the signs of crises, but there is a little list earlier in the book or later, I forget which. I'm going to try to find it, okay? If you don't mind, where Libra is given as a sign of crisis, okay? Certainly a great sign of decision, and so often when there are decisions, the crisis occurs along with them. And here is Libra and crisis. Now, sometimes it says there's no crises, sometimes there are.
And can you relate which page that is on?
As soon as I get there. Here it is. This is on page 265. It's Leo, the crisis of individualization. This time, Libra, the crisis of balance. And I want to say later, decision. And Capricorn, the crisis of initiation. Page 250, 265, and 266. So it's earlier in the book, right? Like I say, I just don't know. The recording will be fine, and everything that I'm changing around will be okay, right? And if some of you are still stuck with that image, then my apologies for it, but there will be a better situation coming up. So now, if you were going to make a great decision about the direction your monad would take in future development, I'll bet you would want to have Libra as a major sign. I'll bet that that would be the case. So Libra is also connected then with the sixth initiation. It's not one of the usual signs of crisis listed on page 473. I think it's 473, isn't it? Or 472. It's not one of the signs of crisis listed on 472, but it is a sign of crisis, the crisis of balance. And we do know how you run into a crisis when you reverse the wheel and send the energies that you can access in a different direction circulating through your energy mechanism. Now, all of that is done under Libra. It's called the reversal of the wheel. But much higher is the decision about which of the nine paths, and I say nine, not just seven, because DK says two more have been added, which of the nine paths you will take, and Libra will help determine that. Also, it's the sixth initiation is the true ascension. That, and I think, you know, in a way, when Christ ascended and he was wrapped up and taken up into a cloud, you might say, you know, he was an initiate of the sixth degree, because he had proven that in the Garden of Gethsemane, anchoring the will for humanity, the divine will. And so there's something there about the sign Aries, possibly that. And also taking you up onto the higher levels of ascension where the Christ, and maybe the Buddha, who knows, the Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, that's got to be a symbolical phrase, and it means he probably is helping the Father, Sanat Kumara, carry out the divine will of Shambhala on the lower planes. Okay, but for sure, now when we begin to talk about the seventh initiation, we are really crowned in some way, and Leo can be connected with that initiation, but so can the sign of resurrection. What is resurrection? Is it simply that the dead body of Jesus rises out newly animated and throws aside the stone that guards the temple, another great symbol for emerging into real divine effectiveness? It could be that. But the seventh initiation is resurrection. And in the same way, now this is important what I want to say, in the same way that Libra represents the crisis of reversal or balance, you know, before you reverse the wheel, Aries, we're told here, represents the crisis of orientation, and its quality is also reversal. So you're reversing the wheel when Aries and Libra are powerful, and lo and behold, what do you discover? That the planet of reversal, going in a new and different way, which is the planet Uranus, is very powerful in both Aries and Libra. In Libra, it's the esoteric ruler, and in Aries, it is the hierarchical ruler. Now, you know, just think about Master DK, where he learned all this, and how he's trying to give it to us. Some of us are Western astrologers, and usually the first thing that happens with a Western astrologer is that they reject everything that Master DK has to say, because it's not even one of the great astrologers. I won't name names. And I was visiting with this astrologer, and I asked him about the Alice Bailey astrology. And of course, obviously, his response was well practiced, because he would be asked many times, "What do you think about Alice Bailey's astrology, or the astrology of the Tibetan?" And he said to me, "Well, it's not astrology as I know it," which I think was a very tactful way of presenting, but I, you know, it landed in my mind. Okay, so the seventh initiation of resurrection comes along, and when that is the case, it's not so much Capricorn who is the initiator. Those are for the more earthly initiations of man. Aries takes over the job at the very higher initiations. Leo, the crown, is involved, and Gemini is involved. Why? Because Gemini symbolizes love, wisdom. And if you turn to page 340, and I still don't know whether you can even do that, you know, something happened, I don't know. Something got locked on. If you turn to page 340 of the Raised and Initiations, what will you find? I don't know, let's see. You will find resurrection, the head center, the second ray, the logoic plane, the eternal pilgrim, the free monad, and you'll find love, wisdom. So somehow that seventh initiation is a second ray, love, wisdom initiation, as well as a resurrection first ray initiation. You don't have to worry, it's going to be thousands of years before we can think about that initiation being any kind of a reality for us. Okay, so what I've just done is I've taken the signs of crisis that DK gave us on 472, and I have paired them with seven initiations, and I've shown how a crisis that seems to occur earlier in life through a certain sign — when I say earlier in life, I mean the great evolutionary trail, you know, can be millions of years — can also occur later. In other words, Aries, head, sign of resurrection, but also much earlier, reversal. Libra, not listed in the seven, but listed otherwise. See, in others, there's a special listing here on page, what did I say, 264, something like that. It's Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. Two of those signs are listed, namely Leo and Capricorn, but not, let's see what it's saying. Not Libra, okay? So Libra is given a higher meaning at the great decision, which we will all face when we are monads. We are monads right now. The only issue is, of course, that we don't fully operate in a conscious manner as a monad. Maybe sometimes we receive some energy. Okay, so that was, okay, I want to write this down. I have just linked the seven signs of crisis with the seven initiations. There are other initiations, but they involve, says the Tibetan, several rays, and he starts talking about them in terms of rays. All right, let's see. Seven signs of crisis. I'm almost done with seven initiations. Now, I want to do one more thing. I want to link, and maybe a little bit of review. Now, if I can just get it here. Now, link seven signs with seven chakras. Can we do that? Because, you know, if you go into there, into these lists, you will find progressions. For instance, I'm going to give you a triangle, Leo, Virgo, Aquarius. Okay, I've given that to you before. Is there a progression in those three signs? Can you find a progression? And I dare say you can find the progression. You have found a triangle which has represented, from one point of view, self-consciousness, Christ consciousness, individual, and a larger type of group Christ consciousness, which is equivalent to liberation. If I have 12 signs of the zodiac, and if I just look at different ones of them in combination, all these different triangles begin to emerge. Maybe let's see if I've given any others. Let's see, you know, anything that would be really useful. Here, you know, I'll give you the triangle like this. Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius. What could that mean? Okay. It means, one of the things it means, I take aim at the goal, at the spiritual goal, on the mountaintop. I'm an aspirant at the first and second initiation. I climb the mountain and take the third initiation in Capricorn. I take everything I have received in the supernal light of Capricorn, I come down the mountain, and I share it all with everybody in a gesture of complete selflessness at the fourth initiation. So basically, we're looking at a triangle which represents initiations, sort of 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, by the way, you can also take the fifth initiation under Aquarius and under Pisces and even under Capricorn, because it represents five initiations. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to study these sources. You're going to study the signs of the zodiac and their planetary rulers and the rays associated with them, and you're going to figure out how they can combine. Now, if I go on and I want the seven signs linked with the seven chakras, I could say in the list I've been given that Cancer at the first initiation involves the sacral center. And there's reason to connect it with the base of the spine center, too, and through the number 4. Scorpio, at the second initiation, the battlefield, has very much to do with the solar plexus. However, it also has something to do with the sacral center and the base of the spine, because Mars is a triple non-sacred ruler of the three chakras below the diaphragm, and Mars is the double ruler of Scorpio. Now, Capricorn. You know, now I'm using signs of the zodiac which are in that list, okay? Okay. In that list of crises. Capricorn. I guess it will not, if I tell you that Capricorn is ruled hierarchically by the planet Venus, what will you say? Well, maybe you will want to turn to this particular map in esoteric astrology, and it's on page 517. Sorry when those things happen. And what will you see? You will see that wherever Venus shows up, in both cases, a particular chakra is involved. It's the Ajna chakra. What ray do you need when you take the third initiation? It can be taken under various rays, of course, but you definitely need the fifth ray. What ray comes through the Ajna center? The fifth ray. What ray is the sole ray ruler of Venus? The fifth ray. So Capricorn is connected, let us say, with the Ajna center. Okay, now what am I doing? I'm taking the signs which are listed in the sevenfold crisis list, and I'm connecting them in various ways with the different chakras, not only with the various initiations. When it comes to Gemini, you know, it is a sign of division, tearing this from that, dividing this from that, and then putting this and that back together. It is said to be connected with crucifixion. Okay, what center particularly is related to crucifixion? It is the heart center. So, you know, your heart is like a cross is drawn on the heart, in the heart, and you learn the meaning not only of being divided in four directions, but you learn the meaning of synthesis. Now, Leo, we have said fifth initiation, among other things, but how interesting it is that the fifth initiation involves the base of the spine center and the first ray. It's so funny, you know, it works like this. First initiation, seventh ray, it's all in order. Second initiation, sixth ray. Third initiation, fifth ray. Fourth initiation, fourth ray. And then you would think the third ray is next. And I think on page 433, it kind of tells you that's one way to look at it. But elsewhere, DK says, first ray. When you are taking the fifth initiation of mastership, you really need that first ray to operate. And what is Pluto? Pluto is a first-ray planet. What does Pluto rule? Pluto rules the base of the spine. See how it all comes together? The first ray, Pluto, the base of the spine, and the first ray ruling the fifth initiation. And, you know, it's a kingly kind of thing. You are crowned, in a way, with mastership. So it's a climax. The fifth initiation is a climax. What's it a climax of? After the fifth initiation, you are no longer a human being, but you are a member of the fourth human creative hierarchy. Okay, here comes the sixth initiation, where the monad can be found. Now, are we talking about some placement in relation to the heart in the head? Because I give you a triangle. Let me just see if I can make this work. Basically, the triangle is between the astral plane, the buddhic plane, and the monadic plane. So they are all along a similar line, and they're all, in a way, ruled by Neptune. There are three locations in the constitution of man which are ruled by Neptune. And then you go on to the cosmic astral plane, also, in a way, ruled by Neptune. So the fifth initiation is interesting because, finally, the bottom of you and the top of you is connected. And by that I mean in the etheric chakra system. The base of the spine and the top of the head are connected at the fifth initiation in a very thorough way. And that's the fifth. The Virgo initiation maybe takes us even further. So basically, if you see somebody that's very, very advanced soul, and they have Pluto opposite the sun, or they have Pluto opposite Uranus, you see a perfect setup for having the Kundalini rise all the way up from base to the top. Okay, now the heart within the head is a glorious monadic center in a certain way. It's partially ruled by Vulcan, which rules the heart of the sun. Isn't that interesting? Because what it means is that the higher rays of Vulcan are not hardline rays. Vulcan is first ray. Yes, on the soul level, perhaps. But if we go farther, we're probably going to find something more related to love. And the old saying is, love can, if you turn things around, permutations a little bit. So the heart of the sun is ruled by Vulcan. Jupiter has a lot to do with the heart center within the head, and Neptune also. And beyond that, Uranus has more to do with the whole radiation of the head center. So I've written something down here, partially ruled by Vulcan, which rules the heart of the sun, which is correlated with the heart in the head center. Two rulers come into connection with the esoteric moon of Virgo. Remember, in Virgo, the moon veils two planets. What are they? Vulcan and Neptune. And they're both involved up there in the heart, in the head center. Now, mostly people like ourselves, we're not getting a whole lot of activity in that heart and the head center. That's what we strive for. First, the heart center. First, the buddhi. That's what we have to have. And that will set up the situation for the heart and the head. Okay, so Jupiter is up there too, because it rules the monadic plane. Finally, Aries. And Aries is listed among the seven crisis signs, okay? Aries and the seventh initiation at the end of the age The initiator works under the constellation Aries, we're told. It's the seventh initiation, and it involves the entire head center. And that fits very well with the idea of Aries. Now, let's see. Here's the quotation that I want you to have in mind. It's from page 304. Aries begins the process and is the, quote, initiator of the process which leads to progress. You know, Aries is throwing us into the new age. The initiator of the process which leads to progress. And at the end of the age, as it is now at the final or seventh initiation, the initiator of the mysteries will work under instructions and with energies which emanate from the Lord of the constellation Aries. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Now that's as far as I'm going to go right now. And I think that the next time we get together, who knows? Well, certainly the time after that. No, there it is. The conclusion begins, the last 30 pages of the book or so, whatever, or just even 20-something pages. So now we have stopped, and I'm not sure where we've stopped, but I'm going to bring down... I'm going to bring down everything that tells us where we are. Okay. So, I'll do it this way. And, you know, I have no idea whether you're seeing my screen, whether it's frozen, whatever. And I just feel bad about that, but okay. That is what can happen. All right. And right here, this is the end of number 61, and is taking place on the 27th. And we're beginning Science of Triangles number 62 on the next one. And that brings us to December 4th. December 4th, and it's going to be an evening presentation. And continued review. All right. All right. Now, what should you have gotten out of this? There are signs of the zodiac. There are signs of crisis. There are planes, and there are seven major chakras. All of them can be correlated with each other. And probably if you examine yourself closely, one of the ways of determining your soul ray, even your monadic ray, is by looking at what chakras are active in a higher way and what crisis, if any, you are passing through. Now, you know, these crises, which begin with individualization, are not occurring one after another, obviously. So there are lives in between which are not necessarily crisis lives. There will be crises, of course, but not the big ones that we're talking about here, every time you have an initiation, that's a big crisis. And certain signs will deliver those initiations more readily than other signs if you are ready. But you can see an astrological chart in which Capricorn is very strong, but the person may not be taking initiation at all. They may be simply responding to the impulse of ambition. So always assess, according to your best knowledge, where a person for whom you are doing a ray chart or an astrological chart can be found. Now, you know, I want to mention Walter's with us today, and he and Stephen Renneberg and, you know, some of his helpers there have done a great job in preparing PIP 3, which you can have on your computer. You can share it freely. We always welcome contributions to keep the process going, of course, but we're spreading it far and wide. And this may be somewhat more quantitative approach to your rays may be useful to you. So you put together a lot of information from a lot of places, and you get a better idea of what you are passing through, because you are passing through something. And what DK said, every true disciple is being prepared for initiation. Think about that for a minute. Now, it may be a few lives away, or it may be knocking at your door and you don't realize it, or it may be knocking at your door and you do realize it. But every true disciple is being prepared for initiation, and it is the part of wisdom to be humble enough and have a good enough sense of proportion to realize what initiation one is being prepared for. Okay. Now, I know I'm talking for a long time there. Are there any comments you would like to make, or any questions you would like to ask? Okay. I'm not seeing a lot of comments. Remember, I review with you, there are 7 major crises. There are 7 signs of the zodiac involved in these crises. There are 7 major chakras. What we're getting better and better at, hopefully, is correlating these lists. And did I mention initiations? Okay. 7 crises, 7 initiations, 7 chakras, 7 signs of the zodiac, 7 planes, and all of the cross correlations that you can get in your mind. And why do you want them? Because when you look at a person, examine them in depth. Let's suppose you have an idea of what their rays are, a little bit. Let's suppose you definitely know what their sun, moon, and rising sign are. then you can find yourself with some hint of knowledge of what they are really passing through and what might be best for them in terms of what you can recommend. People will come to you. The further you go along the path, the people will come. And you have to know, you know, like the Hippocratic Oath, at least to do no harm. There's so many ways to do harm by saying the wrong thing, at least to do no harm and to say what is helpful. Now here, I don't know, Carrie, did I give the proper page number for, I'm not sure for what. Anyway, page 472, the list of crises and following. Page 340 of rays and initiations, the rays that are involved in the various initiations. And pretty soon we're going to be studying the ray triangles. If I say to you, Aries, Leo, Capricorn, it's going to mean something specific. If I say to you, Taurus, Scorpio, Sagittarius, it's also going to mean something specific around the fourth ray. So I hope I didn't miss that, but it looks like someone wrote in there that I was continuing on page 476. And probably I am. Let's just check this out. Yeah, 476 was the start of it. And I interpolated a lot of material. So, continued review. Much material has been interpolated from other DK sources. And now I'm just going to see where we really are. Well, we're pretty much there, 476 and 477. Next time I'll take up these two triangles and we'll try to see what they are doing. The first one has two signs of special crisis, individualization and balance. And the second sign, you know, tells us about Shambhala. Let's just say Aquarius is hierarchy. Pisces is the transition between hierarchy and Shambhala. And Taurus is very, very bright. It's the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala. We'll get into that. Not every Taurus is walking in the gates of Shambhala. So the whole thing is, how do you assess where people are really at? How do you do that? How can you, without underestimating, without overestimating, how can you be with somebody and know the level that you must have when you address them? Okay, now let's go on. Lynette, you say, thank you for another deep and thought-provoking talk. Well, thank you, Lynette. And I hope also, as well as provoking your thoughts, to provoke my own thoughts. We're seeking clarity. Now, DK is very fond of giving us lists that we have to correlate. Like I say, there are signs of the zodiac, there are chakras, there are initiations. there are crises, there are plans. So let's look at this. S-O-Z, wherever I am. okay. Let me go down here just a little bit. Yeah, here it is. S-O-Z. What in the world will that become? Okay. I'm not having such great luck here, but I will soon. So just bear with me. Okay, so SOZ, signs of the zodiac, initiations, chakras, crises, and planes. These are the five lists we are in process of correlating. So get that down clearly, and then you'll understand why we're bothering to do what we're bothering to do. These different lists contain items which are the very essence of the crises you are passing through and what's happening in your life. And so many triangles on their own level or on contiguous levels coming down or leaping can be made out of the constituents of these several ways of listing the energies. Okay. Maybe I've made that too big. I think it'll be okay. All right. Now, let's continue. Now, here is and Veronica speaking. No, it's Anne. First, it's Anne Veronica Chrysis. And yeah, that's what it is. I feel like in any initiation or a crisis, all 12 are there. Yes, that's it. But you know, ranked, we might say, Anne Veronica, ranked. But according to the way the fire or energy moves in your chakras, there are some more powerful helping along the process. Yes, I would say so, definitely. You know, if I'm going to, let's just suppose I want to talk about the third initiation, and I want to contrast Capricorn with Virgo, let's say. Capricorn is much more indicative of what happens at the third degree involving the fifth ray and the Ajna center than is Virgo, with entirely different rays and much more in this universe or solar system, much more found on the soft lines. So indeed, and that's what I say, if you want to get into my video book on the egoic lotus, I have taken pains. Maybe the reader will also experience pains, but I've taken pains to list the contributors to any particular stage of development or initiation, even though they are not usually listed. Okay. Michael, Is it possible that we can be at different levels in different areas of what, Michael?
Well,
can you read that?
Oh, yes. Let me open that.
It cuts off on my machine for some reason. I can't read it.
Is it possible that we are at different levels in different areas of life?
Well, I'll tell you what, we are working on different pedals simultaneously, and the pedals are usually graded. So it's not like we're utterly, utterly, utterly focused on only one small spot. And like DK said, there are some people who are really working in the hall of ignorance, but somehow they have opened up or are rapidly opening up one pedal in the hall of learning. So I think it's a very individual matter, and simultaneous work on different levels is possible. But the overall average is a different thing. And we, all of us, have, we might say, a kind of overall average. I think that's what I would say to that. Michael, did you say, Michael, Stacy, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to put you on mute then, and you can pull yourself off mute if you need to. All right. One more. Or two more. One more. Ishtar. Thank you, Michael, for a very eye-opening something here. Does the fourth initiation have... Boy, it is crisis. Does the fourth initiation have crisis in a particular zodiac? Or, well, you would say sign of the zodiac, you would say, such as Gemini. There is a higher zodiac, but by the time you really get into it, I think you've passed by some of these earlier unfoldments, even though the fourth initiation looks very high, and it is for us, it's only relatively so. So something like Gemini is not so much a zodiac as it is a sign of the zodiac. Or can it be in any zodiacal sign or involving different planets? Well, look, like my friend Nicholas used to say, the energies always have a way of getting through to you to do what they must do. You might say, oh, I haven't got Gemini. I can't take the fourth initiation. That's not necessarily the case. If you have a strong Aquarius, maybe reinforced by Capricorn, I'm just using one example, Leo being strong to represent the causal body, and Scorpio, Pluto, the powers of death, you can find a way to bring those energies in. So DK would say, look, I'm giving you indications here. I'm giving you some probabilities, but I am not telling you the only way that it's possible to take initiation. Okay, so you're not yet an astrologer. All of us will be an astrologer of some kind. Interestingly enough, Alice Bailey was not an astrologer, and she was not a scientist either. DK said, look, I can get a hold of one of my brothers here to fill me in on some fifth ray knowledge, but it wouldn't do any good because I can't transmit it to Alice Bailey, whose knowledge of science or whose capability in that direction is not sufficient. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. We can't all do everything, and we can't all do everything through, bring everything through. Okay. So you found it interesting that your website shows Jupiter in Aries is 1 degree different from, I suppose, Jupiter in your chart, and from AAB's, LOL. She gives me hope. Well, she was not an astrologer. Well, you know, when Jupiter is in Aries, it's great potential. And in the original University of the Seven Rays chart, the Moon and Jupiter are pretty close, and they're both in Aries, so it's a bit of an upstart, you know, just daring. You know, Aries is the sign of daring, one of them anyway. Dare to do something that people have not done. I remember they used to say to me, well, Michael, I know you're interested in the Rays, but let's be realistic. The Rays cannot be studied or learned anything about, really, in a practical way, until your next life. Okay, but I just happened to live another 50 years and decided that I wasn't going to listen to that, and so started with some friends work on distributing knowledge of the seven rays. And I found that all of those naysayers, they just didn't have the imagination and they didn't dare to begin. Okay, so Aries does dare to begin. And Goethe had some amazing quotation about it, you know, about daring. And look that up, you know, because it was all about genius and daring and accomplishing things that you normally would not simply because you dared. And then the forces came along and supported your act of daring. Okay? So be brave. And Michael Poitras says, the big synthetic word, that word is life. That's life. Okay, and here is Anna, and you would like to speak. Go ahead, Anna. You're on, Anna.
I just wanted to say that, hello as well, thank you as well, that the connection between Pisces and Aries, like Alpha and Omega, Uranus and Pluto, which rule in Pisces, which relieves the mind, Venus, liberated towards Jupiter, love. And this is the Pisces last, the Christ sign, and Aries coming next. So yes. It's like a very, very big transition happening in Pisces, and symbol of Christ, and meaning of sacrifice. It's all the three petals, the end of the egoic lost as development. And it's basically this will aspect. The emphasis in Pisces should be on will aspect.
Well, I think that's, Anna, I think that's well observed. It is a great transition point. It used to be one sign, just the way Virgo and Libra used to be one sign. And it connects the base of the spine and the top of the head. And everything is finished in Pisces. And all the eliminations through Pluto, all the deaths. You know, when you look at, I'm talking about a real distortion now. But a lot of those concentration camp directors, they had Pluto and Pisces very active. And they had a very distorted way of expressing it, very inhumane. But as far as they were concerned, they were wiping the slate clean so there could be a new impulse with Uranus in Aries. So I would say the two together, we can think of it in a much more positive way. We can end the cycle, we can get stuff out of the way and begin a completely new cycle, a new archetype for that cycle.
That's what Christ came proclaims this age of Pisces from his point, from his objective, from his purpose, to initiate this Buddhic consciousness.
Yes, and even it depends on how high the person already is. Because you can have a cycle in the zodiac with Buddhic consciousness. You can have one with atmic consciousness. You can have one with monadic consciousness. And always the arrival in Aries with Uranus as the ruler will advance the archetype and take you even further. So I think it's a good point about that connection between the two of them. And the kind of finality or consummation that occurs when Pluto and Uranus and Pisces and Aries get together, it's a good point to have in mind. So thank you for offering.
Thank you.
For offering.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, friends, so we're just about there. If there's anything else anybody wants to offer, you certainly can. Otherwise, we will simply continue. Now look, you know, DK is a master of meticulous entirety. If you turn to page 518 in your Dyna II book, you will see different expressions on the second ray. The Buddha did not talk to his students this way. The Christ did not talk to his students this way. They were operating on different phases of the love energy, or the love wisdom energy. The Buddha speaks in terms of, we remember, inclusive reason or meticulous entirety, and you're going to learn a lot. He's the most learned of the present set of masters, and we're going to learn with him. And we're going to learn how to put things together and recognize the patterns. It will take some work, yes. Okay. But then we'll have a much better idea as we look at the world through the process of, and now I'll name it, pure reason. Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury. Mercury is the esoteric ruler of Aries. Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of Aries. We have a chance to break into a new field of esoteric astrology and view it with pure reason. Pure reason and inclusive reason, they're both very related. There's a lot of detail in pure reason, but there's also this ability to make a wholeness out of all that detail. And quietly and unbeknownst to ourselves, almost, the ability to do that will grow within us as we continue our studies along this line. Okay, thank you. And what I'm going to do is the great invocation. Everybody can join in on it. It's the great invocation of power and light. the special gift or reward to humanity through the Christ, when the Christ decided, I will make this great sacrifice, and I will appear in person, and in visibility, not invisible, but in visibility during the Aquarian Age. The Buddha not so, I think. I don't expect to see the image of the Buddha walking the plains of earth. I expect to see Christ and the Buddha in communication, but Christ is the one, the Lord Maitreya is the one whom we will see, every eye shall see him. Okay. I'm just assuming now that that's it. The great invocation. And look, if for any reason your screen was completely frozen in this whole thing and all you could hear was the voice, then before long this is going to be properly processed and you'll be able to see the text and the picture will not be frozen and so forth. Okay. Okay, and I just want to say tomorrow, this evening, the normal triangles meditation broadcast. Tomorrow evening, the normal reappearance of the Christ meditation, a broadcast. Then on Friday, in the evening, the triangles, and I mean glamour, and a little bit later, the cosmic fire in depth. And then we go on in the usual way. You know, when you look at those stalactites and stalagmites in the cage, in the caves, you wonder how they ever could build up to such a height. But it's patience, and every one of those drops of water had a little bit of sand in it, and eventually a great structure built up out of nothing. So just think about your own wisdom, your own knowledge, and do persist no matter what. Do persist. No matter what. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center where the will, where the which we call the race of men, from the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay. Friends, thank you for your attendance. We will proceed. Gradually learning, gradually becoming more sensitive, gradually including more and more of reality in the scope of our consciousness. So we'll see you, some of you, tonight anyway, for the normal Triangles broadcast. Meanwhile, thank you for being here. And you have the normal YouTube link, I trust. Okay, take care. And lots of love and many blessings from all of us on the team. Bye-bye for now.